Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here's your host, Dr. Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director of CEF of Illinois.
If someone were to ask you a trivia question, like, where is the first sermon recorded in the New Testament after Christ's death and resurrection? I hope you would just pop up your hand and answer loud and clear that the first recorded sermon was by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And looking at this first recorded sermon in Acts 2, here are some additional interesting trivia notes. First, Peter's sermon was given in the midst of both wonder and mocking. In verse 11 and 12 of Acts chapter 2, we see that some of the people that day heard the wonderful works of God proclaimed in their own language, and they not only wondered what it meant, but also they longed to hear more. But then in the very next verse, in verse 13, the Bible seems to record that others heard nothing but a cacophony of just words hitting their eardrums because they responded not in wonder and amazement, but in mocking both the messenger and the message, saying this was not a miracle of God, but the result of a bunch of 120 devout Jews being drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. These two different responses demonstrate that whenever the gospel message is proclaimed, we should expect that there will be different opposing responses to it. Some people, they'll respond positively and they'll want to hear more. But other people, they will respond negatively, even mocking both the message and the messenger. But don't be taken back by these different responses. But the point here is to expect it. There are only two different people in the world, those who are saved or will be saved, and those who are unsaved and will refuse to be saved. The unsaved who reject Christ will harden their hearts and respond by either dismissing the gospel outright, or they will mock it, both the message and the messenger. But remember, in the midst of their mocking, these people are not ultimately mocking you. Who are they mocking? They are mocking God. They are rejecting Him. Another interesting trivia about this first recorded sermon is not only that it's given in the midst of wonder and mocking, but also, second, this first recorded sermon in the New Testament is rooted and grounded in three major passages in the Old Testament. Actually, it's in Joel chapter 2, Psalm 16, and Psalm 110. Finally, a third interesting trivia about this first recorded sermon is not only that it was given in the midst of wonder and mocking, and second, that it was grounded in the Old Testament in three distinct passages, but also this first recorded sermon is Peter's answer to three simple questions. What's this day of Pentecost about? What's the message? But the ultimate question that Peter is pointing to is simply this: who is Jesus? But before we look at those three questions again, more in depth of what's this day about, what's the message, and who is Jesus, we need to remind ourselves again, who is this messenger who gave this first recorded sermon in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2? Well, that trivia question has already been asked and answered. It's the Apostle Peter. But let's stop for a second and remind ourselves just who is Peter. Think about it. Just 50 days before, the Apostle Peter was a failed disciple of Jesus. He denied that he even knew Jesus three times in a row the night of Jesus' arrest. On that night of betrayal, Peter wasn't a disciple of Jesus. He was, but he was acting as a denier of Jesus. Yet Jesus forgave him. And then later, Jesus had a Q&A session with Peter on the beach after Jesus' resurrection, coming to Peter and saying to him three times in John 21, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus kept coming, saying to Peter also in response three times, "Well, Peter, since you love me, then feed my sheep." What's the point here that Jesus is driving home not only to Peter, but also to us as Jesus' disciples today? That none of us are qualified to be Jesus' disciple. We are not, let alone a messenger or a minister for Christ and proclaiming the good news of the gospel and ministering to God's people, feeding his sheep. Why? Because all of us, like Peter, have failed Christ. We have denied Christ at different times in our lives and in many different ways. We are all unqualified messengers of Jesus. But here's the good news. God delights in qualifying the unqualified. What is the only qualification for being a messenger for Jesus according to Jesus? There is only one. There's only one main qualification, that your love for Jesus flows out from knowing that Jesus loves and has forgiven you. That's it. Do you love Jesus? And do you know that Jesus loves you and has forgiven you of all of your sins because you have placed your faith and your trust in Him alone as your Lord and Savior? Then according to Jesus, you, like Peter, are qualified to be His messenger, a messenger for Jesus and part of God's team in feeding His sheep. So now that we looked at who is the messenger, let's look at what is the point of the message that answers these three questions in this first recorded sermon in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost. The first question is, what is this day about? In Acts 2, verse 12, the hearers of the day of Pentecost, they said, what meaneth this? Or in other words, they were asking, what's all this about? Why is this happening on the day of Pentecost? What's going on here? First Peter addresses the mocker, saying, you know, we are not drunk. If you think that we are drunk at 9 a.m. in the morning on a devout Jewish day of worship, it's almost like Peter was saying, you must be drunk and you must be out of your mind, because that is not what is happening here. Second, then, Peter begins his message by simply answering their question, saying, this is that. They were saying, what meaneth this? Peter says, this is that. And then Peter quotes verbatim, almost word for word, Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament, verses 28 through 32. You know, we could go back to Joel chapter 2 and quote from that directly, but let's just stick here with this text in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 20, Peter says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And it goes on, and he says, and I will show wonders in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Well, what is Peter saying here? It's really simple. Peter is saying that this pouring out of the Spirit here, beginning on the day of Pentecost, you know, this is that, is the sign, the signal that this period of time from the day of Pentecost until the Lord comes again on that great day of the Lord are the last days. You might say, well, Katrina, that's a long period of time for living the last days, because from the day of Pentecost until now, what's already been 2,000 years? Well, yes, I understand. But these days, according to the Bible, between Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming, beginning on the day of Pentecost, is the biblical time frame called the last days. That's what the Bible calls it. You know, there are actually two predominant signs we are living in the last days. The positive sign that we're living in the last days is that because of the work of the Holy Spirit, the pouring out of the Spirit upon His people, that people are coming to Christ. People are getting saved. And the good news is that will continue throughout the last days until Jesus comes again. You know, that's not just good news. That is super great news. But the negative sign that we're living in the last days is that as we get closer to the time of Jesus' coming, there will be, according to God's word, progressive signs of God's coming judgment. Signs in the heavens, signs in the earth, signs of blood, fire, smoke, signs in the sun and moon, plus, 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 plus more. All these signs of turmoil and just plain weird stuff that are going on in our world, even today, could be a sign of the impending day of judgment and coming of our Lord. For God's people, this coming day of the Lord is the great day of salvation. It's a day of deliverance. But for those who are not God's people, who have rejected Christ, who have rejected the Lord, this coming day of the Lord is the great day, not of salvation, but of God's judgment and destruction. So what's the answer to what's this day about and what it means? You know, Peter, he doesn't hesitate. After those preliminary comments, he jumps up and he goes right to the point. Peter is still quoting from Joel chapter 2, verse 32, and he boldly stands up and declares, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Today, when people ask us a similar question saying, you know, what's going on here? Or what does this mean? We need to see this as a sign that the Holy Spirit is working. Maybe people are seeing people coming to Christ. They're getting saved, or the Spirit of the Lord working in and through the lives of His people. Or maybe they're seeing weird things happening in this world that has no earthly explanation. And whenever we see God working their life and we see these things happening in the Spirit of the Lord going before us, we need to be prepared to boldly proclaim, as Peter did, saying, look, we are living in the last days, number one, but also the only response that you need to have is to call upon the name of the Lord, because only those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know about you, but some of these last 4 to 5 years during COVID and post-COVID have been weird in our country, and there are many things I cannot explain. But I can say with surety, according to God's word, things will get even more strange, more blatant, and there will be a more definite contrast between those who are God's people and those who are not God's people. But notice this in Peter's message, that Peter was not all that hung up on these signs. That was not his point. He mentioned them, but rather Peter's main point was to proclaim to the people listening so they would understand that they are living in the last days and they would understand they need to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You know, next week on Telling Future Generations, we're going to look more closely at these remaining two questions. What's the message and who is Jesus that Peter answers in this first recorded sermon in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost? But for now, let's just soak in this first major point. We are living in the last days right now, according to God's word, and we can be sure that the Holy Spirit is working in our lives and the lives of others who will believe in Christ. Praise the Lord. But until then, until Christ comes, what should be our twofold message to others? It's the same as it was for the Apostle Peter. It remains unchanged. We are living right now in the last days, but God has promised in his word that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is a major point of the message that we have here in this text, that just like Peter, we need to continue to proclaim all the way until our Lord comes again. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week. Until then, God bless.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
Can children learn biblical truth in America's elementary schools?
We learn Bible stories and about Christians all over the world.
Right now, Child Evangelism Fellowship is taking Good News Clubs to our nation's elementary schools immediately after school.
It helped me, through things that I had never learned before.
Children learn the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's when I really start reading the Bible, and then I knew he was real and I wanted to obey his word.
Make this your ministry or even that of your church.
It's really fun.
CEF has the training, tools, and staff dedicated to helping you reach children for Christ.
I believe in God and I know that he's with me all the time.
Go to cefonline.com. That's cefonline.com.
To learn how you can be involved in an after-school Good News Club, call CEF of Illinois, 309-688-9699.